Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Friday, March 16th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. The Dubs are at home tonight to the Kings before heading to Phoenix to the Valley of the Sun for a game tomorrow on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be taking it easy for St. Patrick's Day. I missed Wednesday and Thursday shows with an illness and still kind of getting over something here. But there's too much news around the Dubs to stay away for too long. So today, I'm going to do my intro. We're going to talk about both games over the weekend and then also go down the Reddit hole with Miles. Miles being Miles Johnson, my roommate, and huge hoops head. I'll be introducing him shortly. But first, a little about myself. I was born in San Francisco, raised in Oakland, huge Warriors fan. I worked at Bleacher Report as a content and front page editor for 3 years, becoming educated in every major sport under the sun, but basketball wins out for me. Now I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts for Forbes.com in addition to focusing on the Warriors. I've written for Bleacher Report on the Warriors beat in the past. And in addition to recording this podcast every day, I'm a fund development and business development consultant for nonprofits, startups, and small businesses who are trying to level up. Recording the podcast is definitely a highlight of my day. You can get this podcast anywhere podcasts are available. That's Spotify, iOS, Android, and LockedOnWarriors.com. as well as iTunes. Make sure you check out Locked On Dubs on Facebook and Locked On NBA Net on Facebook, where all of the day's NBA podcasts are posted, including Locked On NBA, the daily podcast, with the biggest stories told to you by the local experts. You can get in touch with me via email at alikocarter11@gmail.com, alikocarter11@gmail, or via Twitter at Kogitare, Kogitare, or at Locked On Dubs. I tweet from both accounts. All right, I'm here with Miles Johnson, a fellow writer and hoops head. How you doing, Miles?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's Friday. It's the Dubs are playing tonight, and hopefully they'll get a win, even though they're injured as all get out.
Then I get to see enjoy them play all the basketball too. While it lasts, though, too. Season's almost over.
Yes.
Baseball season's about to start.
Baseball, yeah. I actually already have tickets to an A's game. I'm going on, like, the 25th of April.
Who are they playing?
I don't know. I think it's some sort of, like, Star Wars promotion or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But we're here to talk about the Warriors, and they are injured up and down the roster, starting with Kevin Durant, who's out tonight, along with Klay Thompson, who has a fractured right thumb. That's no bueno. He's going to be reevaluated on March 22nd, but methinks a fracture is going to take more than a week to heal. What do you think, Miles?
10 games left? 12 games left?
I think
like 13 games left. To me, like, I think you have to at least start thinking about shutting him down for the rest of the regular season, right? If this was his non-shooting hand, it would be one thing. You rest him up for, you know, 2 weeks or whatever, tape it up, and, you know, pray that nobody hits it to re-aggravate it. But this is, you know, the thumb on his shooting hand. You know, when we were talking about this earlier, if it had happened to Kevin Durant or Steph Curry, it would have been bad. But I'm not sure that it would have been as bad as it happening to Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
The guy who really, like, is the glue that holds all of this together. You have Golden State's best player in Kevin Durant, their most important player in Steph Curry because of just how much he can change the offense. Absolutely. And morph other teams' defenses.
Yeah.
But in terms of everything else that happens that allows Steph Curry to be Steph Curry and Kevin Durant to be Kevin Durant, that's Klay Thompson, right? Yeah. Like, that's... Yeah. He's guarding the other team.
The key that unlocks.
Yeah, he's guarding the other team's, you know, best player usually, unless that guy is big enough for Kevin Durant to be guarding that person, right? He's going to give you 20 points every time he steps onto the floor. And his shooting is what allows their defense to stretch the way it does, right? Yeah. Like, or else you could have teams just key in on Steph and not have to stay honest on guys like Klay. He's such a phenomenal shooter. Like,
exactly.
If you don't have that anymore, if you can start maybe leaving him because his thumb is bothering him, you know, it really drastically changes, like, your approach, I think. And, it does. And yes, having Kevin Durant is like a great failsafe because, you know, you can a lot of times have him just bail you out because he's Kevin Durant. Absolutely. But you...
That stupefies the offense, though, and we don't want to do
that. Yeah, it's not the same beast as it was before. And while it may still be, you know, really, really good, like, it might be so weak that you give Houston a chance. Like, I think this team full strength, I don't think in the playoffs Houston has a chance. Mm. If you were to even have, like, a Klay that's not at 100%, and him not being at 100% is something that's on his shooting end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think maybe you've cracked the door a little bit, and maybe Houston has a shot now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that without Klay, Houston does have a shot. So the question is, when does Klay feel like, you know, how much say does Klay Thompson have in his own ability to play basketball? One. And two, how long is this thing going to take to heal to the extent, and we were talking about this earlier, like Steph came back for the playoffs in 2016 after suffering a knee injury and was never the same.
And he was good.
He was good.
Right, he was great. Like, the series is closing out that he did against Portland. Like, he was good. He was great, really.
Yeah,
right?
But that, he wasn't... I'm back game.
But that he wasn't was, the was same, fun. Right? Like, because if he had been the same, the switch that you get on Kevin Love in the finals, like, that's one that you want, right? Like, and Kevin Love is a great defender, whatever we're talking about. Like,
yeah, if y'all all remember Kevin Love's most fantastic defensive play ever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is, right? Like, because it's the lockdown that secured the curse-ending title. Yes. Yeah, it is. It's, like, one of the best defensive plays in Cleveland basketball history. Yeah. But I think it happened, like, in large part because you had Steph Curry on the
hobbled
knee, right?
A little
like,
hobbled. Yeah, so if Klay can't go out there and be Klay Thompson, get you 20, sometimes get you 30, lock down the team's best, do we keep Klay out there just for defense because he's our best perimeter defender on smaller players?
I mean, yeah, I think you have to play him in the playoffs, right? Like, I've read that he's expected to be out until the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know why you would bring him back, like, the last, what, week of the season. So I really do think that that means, like, he's going to be out for the rest of the season. Right. And they're just going to hope that you get, like, a healthy Klay Thompson in the playoffs. And, like, you do what you can, right? Like,
I think that makes a lot of sense. And keep in mind, the Portland Trailblazers, even though they whooped us twice in the last month, are 10 games back in the loss column. So there's not really much of a chance for the Warriors to fall further than second. But there
is... No, the question is who you all are playing in the first
exactly.
round.
Exactly. That jostling is really, really interesting. And right now...
Right now it's Utah, but right now you'd want it to be San Antonio. And I know what I said on here before...
Wait, but Kawhi's going to come back,
but you never
right?
want to play San Antonio, right?
You did say that.
I did say that, but... Utah's won 8 straight. What was the long streak they had earlier this season?
They've won 20 of their last 22, so I guess it's 8 straight, 10, and then 12.
And then 12, right? Like, so they've had multiple double-digit win streaks. Like, they look really good. And it might not matter, right? Because it's the Warriors, right?
But yeah.
I don't know. In terms of, like, you know, who do I think I could sweep the easiest, like, San Antonio's really banged up.
Minnesota's beat us. New Orleans plays us well.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play any of those.
Portland whooped us twice. Oklahoma City whooped us twice.
And then on the back end, the question is whether the Clippers can make up that, because right now they're a game out of...
Yeah, and then Denver. Yeah, Denver's exciting. I haven't seen them with Paul Millsap yet. Have you seen any games?
Well, I mean, he was hurt for a lot of the beginning of the season.
I'm talking about, like, I saw a bunch of Denver games earlier in the season. I'm talking about since he's been back, I haven't seen them play.
And I see what you mean. I
feel like it's responsible. It would be a responsible thing for me to do before I write them off as a non-entity.
No, I think if they make the playoffs, they could make a lot of noise. Like, Murray, Gary Harris, they've got
Murray.
Tandem of young guards that are really good. And I think Millsap makes them really dynamic because he is somebody that can stretch the floor. Like, we've
Absolutely.
Seen him, like, really bang it down and play in the low post, but he also can knock down, not even necessarily the three, but that, like, 17, 18 foot jump shot, though he can hit the corner threes, and we've seen him do that. So I like Denver. I would actually be really interested in seeing Denver in the playoffs.
And then Jokic, man, the triple-double machine. Oh, yeah. Like that guy is just completely new age, but, like, in a body that he's, like, almost like a bigger version of Larry Bird. Like, I feel like that's the way he moves a little bit, you know? And his shot is kind of like that, too. He's slower, obviously, than Larry was. But he has the same court
he's
vision.
Not nearly the defender. Yeah, he's a really good passer. And he can knock down the outside shot. He's a really, really good passer.
Yeah.
But he's borderline liability on defense.
That's true. But that's why it's good to have Millsap back. Millsap barking on the back line, man. That guy was underrated in Atlanta. And he's making $30 million a year, so he certainly, he got paid, but underrated in Denver as well. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Up next, enjoy the bite-sized nuggets of goodness we'll find down the Reddit hole, starting with LeBron's best dunk ever. All right, so Miles tells me I have to watch this dunk in real time.
I just suggested that maybe it would be worth getting on air.
Yeah.
That's all.
So we pulled it up. It's on the screen.
And it's first quarter. Portland's up 14-13 with just over 7 minutes left in the first quarter.
Let's go. Okay, LeBron's drive. Whoa! Wow. He jumped really high.
And from really far away from the basket.
Yeah, that was... this is just going to keep going on loop. We're going to keep talking about it a little bit because it's special.
So here's what I was asking before. So they don't switch and you see LeBron charging at you and you're underneath the basket. Why do you jump? Serious question. Why do you jump? Because who has met this guy at the top and, like, blocked his shot? I spent a long time thinking, when was the last time you saw LeBron get met at the top and get a shot blocked?
Maybe never.
It would be like getting in front of Bo Jackson. Why?
So is Yusuf, is that like a sign that Yusuf Nurkic maybe doesn't have the best basketball IQ or like?
Oh, no, I don't think it's. I think he has to. I'm mainly just being funny. I think he has to jump, but yeah. I'm just, if it's me.
Yeah.
And it's one thing if you're right there to meet him, right? But he's turned the corner and is now getting a running start at you.
Yeah.
All 6'9", 270 of him, and he's LeBron James. Why?
So this comes from Redditor LeBron Game 6, and I'm just going to keep looking at this dunk. We have to answer a question. You know, the question is, people are saying, all right, this is the LeBron's best in-game dunk ever. And we've seen some pretty fantastic ones. I know you had some in mind. I have a couple when he was in Miami. There are a few I remember when he had the really bushy beard.
Yeah, so there are a couple that I think are maybe more satisfying dunks to look at. But I think part of the reason that they are like that is because, and I'm thinking about it right now, is because they're against smaller guards.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is one of my personal favorites, which is an oldie, which is him over Damon Jones in like 2006, I think, or 2005.
Yes.
This is when, like, yeah, LeBron's like second or third year in the league, and Shaq's on the Heat, as is Dwayne Wade, and LeBron intercepts a pass going to the right wing. Throws it up to Jeff McGinnis. I don't know how many of you remember Jeff McGinnis.
Yeah, that's a blast from the past right there.
who, like, shovel passes it back. Meanwhile, poor Damon Jones, who's now the assistant coach who recently had a bowl of soup thrown at him, as any of you who says will remember. He's standing under the basket, and, I mean, LeBron just annihilates him. And see, there's a pass, and he shovels it back.
Oh, Schmidt!
Meanwhile, Robert Tractor Trailer in the back. That game on. And the best part of this video, too, is the smile that LeBron gives as he takes his face mask off. Like,
he's so satisfied.
He, like, ripped this dude's soul out of his body, and he knew it. And he just smiled the whole way walking back to the bench. So it's this one, and then he had a dunk in Miami over Jason Terry when Jason Terry was in Boston.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But again, this one's great, again, but it too is off of a turnover, and it's against a much smaller guard, Jason Terry, right? And so it's better to look at because, right, he pile drives this dude into the floor and then stares him down, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's against a smaller guy. Nurkic is how tall is he's got to be at least 6'10", right?
Yeah,
6'11". Yeah, like, he's a big dude. It wasn't off of a turnover. So I think then for me, the only other ones that maybe could be as good or better, one of them is when he posterized Tim Duncan.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, because anytime that you posterize the best power forward of all time.
Was that in the finals?
No. I think that was a regular season game. But okay. But you can pull it up to.
Yeah.
So I can make sure. I'm pretty sure it was just a regular season game. But the other one that I would suggest was in the playoffs, but it was the Eastern Conference semifinals against Boston.
Word. This one?
Yeah, I think this is it.
Here we go. Taking the ride. Oh, that ball went so high.
Right, Statue of Liberty dunk on Tim Duncan. That's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And he just threw it in his face. Like,
oh, Hubie Brown on the call also. Great.
So that one or Eastern Conference semifinals, game 4. Cleveland's down 2-1 to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And this is essentially to seal the game. It's a great Kevin Harlan call. And he comes off of a high screen roll and posterizes Kevin Garnett.
We're watching all of these in real time, by the way, people.
Thought I had today is, I wonder if the LeBron supporting cast that he has now, what a dunk. And again, this is to essentially seal game 4 and even up the series.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Yeah, man. Kevin Harlan.
Right? Great Kevin Harlan call, a dunk all over a Hall of Famer.
Ooh,
that's great. I mean, you put the big ticket on a poster.
Yeah,
right. He's got two posters on two separate Hall of Famers. And no shade to Yusuf Nurkic, but he's no Kevin Garnett. Right?
Yeah, like that one is pretty good. I would definitely rank it higher than the one over Timmy. I think this dunk is definitely up there too. Those are the.
But then I watched this Nurkic one. Yeah. I mean, just in terms of, like, form.
Flight.
How far away
he's become a more polished dunker over the course of his career. A more graceful flyer, if you will. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Up next, playoff matchups we want. Hey, listeners. Is your company looking for new avenues to get your products out to the people? Well, you need look no further than Locked On Warriors. The Locked On Podcast Network is full of connected listeners who are just waiting to be swept away by your product. So go ahead and get in touch with me, AlicoCarter11@gmail.com. I'll give you all the details. All right, now we're looking at the standings and checking out the playoff matchups that we'd like to see. And we'll start with the Eastern Conference, where Toronto reigns supreme. The East is pretty cut and dry. There's no way Detroit's gonna get back into the race at this point. So now it's just a little bit of jostling for who's gonna be in those middle spots.
So the 4-8 is decided by 3.5 games. Cleveland has a bad week and they could end up playing Washington, or they could end up having to go to, you know, Boston in the first round.
Right.
I don't really see that happening because they have LeBron James, and I think he understands that they want to try to retain home court if possible. But, you know, anything can happen. I think, honestly, when was the last time we saw a 6 and a 7 seed as scary as Philadelphia and Milwaukee is right now,
though? In the Eastern Conference? It's been decades.
Right? Like, Philly is... They're young, right? And so in the playoffs, like, they might, you know, fold under pressure or make more mistakes. But just in terms of talent, like, I would not want to play a team with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons on it anytime soon.
Especially if, since Embiid hasn't been practicing, like, he's going to be fresher than most superstars are in the playoffs because he just doesn't practice. You know, his body has taken less wear and tear than your average big man. That I think is going to be like a little part of the secret sauce of what makes Philadelphia so scary.
And you know, Milwaukee has, I think, you know, it's safe to say it's underperformed this season, and I think a lot of that has to do, you know, with they could just never really.
What's the name of their new coach? Their interim coach. Yeah.
But I mean, I still think any team that has Giannis, on in the playoffs. I mean, again, like. Everything kind of slows down, like, the reliance on having these kind of elite, superstar, kind of talents that can, you know, get their own shot and score at will. Like, those are at a premium, like, in the playoffs.
And the ones who see the floor, Giannis does.
But both of those teams, I would much rather play a team like Washington than play Philadelphia, so...
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think Washington, Washington finds a way to win games, and winning regular season games doesn't necessarily equate to success in the playoffs as much as things like point differential and things like that. I don't know Washington's PD right now, but
they're -1.5 since All Star break.
Wow. Okay. Well, that doesn't bode well.
No, I mean, they've been largely mediocre the same way that they've been largely mediocre after All-Star break, I think, most seasons going back the last, like, 5 or 7 years. Like, the best they've gone in the last 10, I think, is 19-11 after the break. And I think, what are they now, like, 6-6? So, look, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many different ways to, like, say this team is, like, largely mediocre, right? Like, yes, you have this really good shooter in Bradley Beal. But even that, right? Like, they were clicking at first with John Wall, and then they kind of came back to earth. And even though they, I think, are 5th in the league in assists per game, or 5th in passing.
And first since Wall went out, right?
I was going to say they would have to be first since Wall went out, because they weren't close to 5th when he was still there. So they're sharing the ball, like, a lot better, but it hasn't really translated into them, you know, playing, like, incredible basketball. And part of that is that they struggle really defensively. Part of that is that the bench is basically non-existent, evidenced by the fact that they have had to sign Ramon Sessions, you know, to multiple 10-day contracts, and now have extended him through the end of the season, right? Like,
I like Ramon Sessions. I don't know why. That guy.
Okay, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Do you think that Indiana, you know, in the third seed right now and could potentially hold on to that, do you think they represent a real threat or like, in that 3-6 matchup, who you got, Philly, Indiana, or Milwaukee, Indiana, just for ish and giggles?
Well, I mean, Milwaukee is a game and a half back. Let's say the East holds exactly as it is, just for the sake of, you know, talking about it. Indiana, I think, can beat Philly in a 7-game series if they have home court. I think Victor Oladipo has been awesome all year. I think, again, he's one of those types of people who you give him the ball with the game on the line, and among those two rosters, like, he's one of the people that I trust, even more so than guys like Simmons or Embiid, I think. I'd rather the ball be with Oladipo.
Yeah, he hungers for those moments.
And he's a really tireless defender, so you get a lot. And he and Sabonis have been a really great 1-2 punch. They've really revitalized, like, Pacer basketball, really.
Yeah.
So I think they can beat Philadelphia. Then I think, so they get the winner of Boston and then Milwaukee, which I think, here's what I say. I would caveat that with how healthy is Boston going to be.
They
know that they've lost Tice.
They lost Marcus Smart just now.
They lost Smart. Irving has been, like, really up and down the last, like, couple of weeks, like, health-wise. Boston at full strength, even minus Tyson Smart.
Not to mention, you know, Gordon Hayward.
Right, I mean,
like, how scary is Boston going to be next year, though?
I mean, they're going to be good. But, so, if you get an even, like, 80% of what we've seen out of Boston, I think they can probably beat Indiana.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, again, 7 games, a lot can happen, and if you're not at full strength, those rotations also shrink, so you're relying on fewer and fewer players. You're going to see Irving get a lot more minutes. Like, if he's not 100%, like, is he going to wear down a little faster? I mean, he's going to play no matter what, right? And he's not, he's never going to come out and say, like, oh, it was because I was hurt, because
That's not how it's done. Right? That's not the honor code.
But we also are all, like, watching and have eyes, like, and we know, like, when guys are 100%, we know when they're not.
Yeah.
So I think Indiana is one of those teams out east that could make a lot of noise. But I think, you know, just as easily, conversely, like, if you told me that, you know, Embiid and Simmons just, like, we're like, you know, whatever, like, we don't care about the pressure, we don't care about the fact that we're, like, you know, young, like, we're just gonna go on a run, and they made a bunch of noise and made the second round, maybe, like, that wouldn't surprise me either, and deep into the second round, maybe threaten the Eastern Conference
Finals. This is definitely the most exciting Eastern slate of teams that we have gotten probably in the last two decades, or since the era of Michael Jordan. The East has been, like, the little brother to the West for a long, long time, but it really feels like there's, like, 10, well, Detroit, we're going to see what Detroit does. Chicago is up and coming.
Oh, no.
But there's at least, like, 9 or 10 really interesting teams in the East, like, now and over the next few years. It's going to be really fun to see. But let's go West. And right now, Golden State is matched up with Utah. We did talk about that. But Houston, San Antonio would be fun if Kawhi Leonard is healthy. Now, the question is, like, he's trying to come back. They're talking end of March.
What incentive do the Spurs have for Kawhi Leonard to come back?
I think they think with Kawhi, they can hang with anyone. I think that they believe that. I think Kawhi believes that. And it's not like he's been not resting. You know, he's been resting for a very, very, very long time. So if he comes back this season, it's not like they're going to be worried that he's going to re-aggravate that injury. Like, I mean, come on, like, he still is just, like, wavering and stuff like that, which means that he's gonna come back when he feels like he's ready, and he's getting closer to that point. And I just feel as though it would be a waste not to see if you can hang with your MVP and LaMarcus, who's playing out of his mind, and the Spurs, who still execute you to death but are going through a tough stretch with injuries, and try to, you know, make some noise in the playoffs. There's 8, 9, 10 really good teams in the Western Conference. Really good teams. But I don't see any reason to not go for it.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Or, you could shut it all down now, because we know that Kawhi's rehab this season has been, like, at best murky, right? Like, there's been not just, like, tension, like, between, like, both sides, but, like, miscommunication, like, as to the severity of the injury, as to, like, what the rehab specifics were going to be. Like, we, like, don't know everything that's even going on, like, with this, which is, like, concerning, considering that it's March. The fact that, like, the report, like, just came out, and it was like, oh, the Spurs and Kawhi's camp are, you know, at odds over, like, how they're rehabbing, like, that's not good, right? Like, but let's say that there's no issue at all, right? The Spurs are 39-30. They are tied right now, and if the season were to end today, we'd have the 8th seed. They are a game up on the Clippers. They are also just a game behind the very same Clippers from being in the lottery.
Yeah.
If you're the Spurs, why not shut it down, right? Because, like, what? Best case scenario is Kawhi comes back, he plays out of his mind, you miraculously knock off Houston. You then have to play the winner of Oklahoma City, Minnesota.
Well, I mean, they could very easily be in the 6th or 5th spot come the end of the season, too. I mean, there's just so little separation.
Right, I know, I'm saying, so, okay, let's say that they're in 7th. You have to be the Warriors first. Then if they're in 6th, you have to be Portland. That's an easier road, but then you have to play Golden State next.
Yeah.
Either way, this is a team that you have to beat. Like, their easiest road is what, really? You have to decide between playing Houston or Golden State first. You're not getting, I don't think, up to 6. But let's say you do. You play Portland first and then Golden State second.
Mm-hmm.
You have to play Houston and Golden State, both of those teams, to, like, make it to the finals in the first place, right?
Yeah.
What's the point in bringing Kawhi back? You could get up to even, like, this 13th slot. Maybe even. And with the track record that the Spurs front office has had drafting, like, You give them middle lottery slot, like...
That's true. They're going to knock it out of the park.
Why not set up for a future in which Kawhi is perfectly healthy and also maybe his camp and the Spurs don't actually hate each other, if that is in fact what's going on. Which I'm not saying it is, but if it is...
I think that there are things at play right now within the Spurs organization that they feel are bigger than the future of the basketball team, which is like these current like streaks of greatness they have going on of making the playoffs and giving their fans that experience and everything like that. Like they're running a business and I feel like they feel like they have a good enough team without maybe that lottery pick to still contend next year. But like, this season was supposed to be a great effing season. And they still have a chance to give them some semblance of that and to get the revenue that they would get from playoff games.
I hear that. And then don't bring Kawhi back.
So,
Do you feel like you have to bring Kawhi back to make the playoffs? Because you can't feel you have to bring Kawhi back to make the playoffs and then simultaneously feel like Kawhi can then also propel you to making the finals, right? Like, if you are barely a playoff team,
You can't be a
finals team with him.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I think Kawhi is I think Kawhi is a game changer, you know? I think Kawhi wins you two games against Houston or Golden State, like, straight up, because he's that good.
Yeah, but you gotta win four, right?
I know, like, I know. But if you can count on the Spurs' execution to and chemistry to be as tight as we've seen it, you know, on and off the last few years, if it's on and Kawhi wins you two games, you have a chance.
When in basketball has one guy ever been responsible for, like, that, like, bulk of... Right? Like there has been no championship team, really, where you could point to and be like, oh, yeah, it's that one guy. Right? Like, even the way that we mythologize Michael Jordan, like, he didn't win any of those titles until Scottie Pippen got there, right?
No,
like,
but, I mean, okay, so Kawhi has some good players around him. Kawhi has LaMarcus Aldridge, who's been playing at a deservedly all-star level season. He's got DeJounte Murray, who's really burst out of his little chrysalis and become I would say at this point, a slightly above average starting point guard.
Okay. Let me stop you right there. Because if you're talking about having to beat the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors before you even get to having to beat potentially...
The Toronto Raptors, who we didn't even talk about today.
Or LeBron James.
Yeah.
You have to have more than just... Like, you're one of your like guys can't be a slightly above average point guard.
So I'm just saying it's worth it to go for it. As I say that with a smile on my face, I'm a hopeless romantic when it comes to the San Antonio Spurs. Anyway, quick injury report before we sign off. No Kevin Durant tonight. No Stephen Curry. No Klay Thompson. Obviously, no Patrick McCaw. Jordan Bell is expected to be in the lineup. Quinn Cook is expected to be in the lineup. Draymond Green is returning. And David West, finally, with the cyst on his arm, is expected to return tonight. So it's going to be some crazy, crazy lineups as we've seen over the last few games. But hopefully these games against the Kings and Suns will be just what we need in these lean, lean times. All right, Miles. Any shout-outs?
I'm gonna keep it the same and plug Basketball Court Podcast. We're having a new episode come out, hopefully soon. It's a very serious topic. We kind of want to switch it up, do something very, like, you know, it's important, but
serious
it's
serious
like,
how?
Well, I'm not trying to give anything away.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. I'm just playing with you. but it is like it's about basketball for sure. But it's stern. It's, you know, it's important. Well,
could that be a hint?
It might be. You guys tune in to find out. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at BeatballCourtPod. We are on iTunes at the Basketball Court Podcast. And the same thing for Podomatic, if you use that. And the Basketball Court Podcast on Facebook, too, if you use Facebook.
All right. I want to shout out my guests next week. We haven't ironed down a day just yet, but Andy Schwartz and Ricky Vellante, founders of the Historical Basketball League, which will begin play in either 2019 or 2020, the HBL. will be made up of HBCUs, that's historically black colleges and universities, who've committed to paying their student athletes a fair wage for their labor, because that's the way it should be, people. As you may know, Kevin Durant has come out in support of paying college players, and I'm pretty sure the whole Warriors organization, you know, if really pressed on the subject, would probably say the same. So we're going to talk about that. It's the height of the madness of March, so stay tuned because we've got the hottest subjects. Enjoy the Kings tonight and the Suns on Saturday, and I'll catch y'all Monday. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.